Welcome to another edition of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to make your dreams come true. There are lots of different ways to do it, and that's why we have so many different guests on the program talking about their story, their perspective, their paradigm, if you will, their belief system, and sharing that information with you so that you can then check it out, see if it resonates with you, see if it fits into your scheme of life, and use it and make things happen in your life that maybe you haven't done for a long time. And I'll bet you if you think back into your childhood, that's where things were really happening. But we don't often look back into our childhood where we were kind of free and happy and we weren't encumbered by all of the life's stresses and strains. We weren't concerned about the... If there was a recession in the 70s, I don't remember it. I was 12, 13 years old. I didn't care. I was having fun playing and going to school, which was sort of fun. But what we want to talk about today is something that is going to hopefully enhance your life. We're going to be talking today with... her name is Myra Mossman, and she is... You're more than... I almost said tarot card reader, but you're more than that. You teach it, but you also have a very special... As it's called within tarot, layout, correct?
Yes, everybody uses their own unique layout because it's a subjective science, the tarot. And so my particular layout, which works for me, is the Holy Tree of Life layout from the Kabbalah.
And we're going to talk about both tarot and what tarot is, what tarot cards are, as well as the Tree of Life and how you've incorporated those two. And I want to welcome you to our program. Thanks for joining us here in studio.
Thanks for asking me. I'm excited to be here.
It's much nicer to have folks in studio. I will always take phone guests, but it's always nice to have folks in studio chatting. The energy is so much different. So as we get started, tell us, give us a little history of yourself as far as your connection with the tarot. When did you come to tarot or tarot come to you?
It happened in 1978. I was basically somewhat metaphysical to start with. I was always sort of spiritually inclined. I grew up in a religious family, sort of moderate Reform Judaism. And so we grew up around the Torah. And I have a twin sister, so I'm empathic by nature. And a younger brother who's quite brilliant. And so we had a close family. And so you develop things, as you said in your opening, that your childhood is influential. We don't think about a lot of things, but we are informed. And so I was sort of had inclinations, but in 1978, I had an opportunity to go to Martha's Vineyard Island. It was my first time visiting the island. I heard a lot about the area. But when I got there, I was sort of a little disappointed. I felt this melancholy in the air. I couldn't really understand it or put it together. And I had a number of premonitions. I won't go into all of them, but one particular incident, I was taking a walk with my friend, boyfriend at the time, whose family had a number of houses on the island. That's why we were visiting. And we were going at this, walking along this beach. It's a famous beach that you walk up along the cliffs. It's called Zach's Cliffs. And as I got to the top of the cliffs, I noticed this truck. We had just bought in a little pickup minivan, and I noticed this beautiful truck sort of hanging over the edge like a Bronco, like a Marlboro commercial. And as I walk behind the truck, like on the way out, I noticed this man standing next to it. I never saw his face. I saw him from behind. But as I saw him, an evil penetrated me. And I said, that's an evil man. The next day, other incidences happen, but it just so happened that at that day, Carly Simon and James Taylor were giving a free no-nukes concert on the island. It was like late September. Most of the tourists were gone, and so it was just kind of the locals. And they were giving a free concert, and we didn't go. I didn't go. My boyfriend didn't go. We had some house guests coming, and we had to do some work. And I said, look, when we finish the work, I'm going to go down to the beach, and I'm going to go by myself. It was sort of the first time I was alone for 6 days. And it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember walking along this isolated island road and coming to this great big expanse of beach. And I sat down on the beach. About three people were on the beach at that time. And I got into a meditative state, I suppose. And the only thought in my mind was, you're here for a reason. You're here to learn something. You're here for a reason. You're here to learn something, over and over. And then when that internal dialogue stopped, I said, might as well go home. And so I picked myself up and started walking. And as I started walking down that lonely island road, the very van that I'd seen, truck that I'd seen the day before, drove up and drove past me. And then 2 minutes later, it drove out, like on its way to the beach. And then 2 minutes later, it passed me coming out the other way. Mm. And I lost sight of the truck as it turned a bend in the road. And then there was woods in the area. And as I walked further on, I saw that the truck now was parked on the side of the road. And the man that was driving it was looking under the hood. And the house I was staying at was like about set off about a quarter of a mile from this little road. And as I started to walk across the road to get to the path, the man now was behind me, and he came running up after me, and he grabbed me, and he started dragging me into the woods, and he got on top of me, and he started strangling me. And I said, this is it. This was what I was warned about on the beach. And I wasn't afraid, and all the premonitions that I had been having on Martha's Vineyard came to that moment. And so I was very, very lucid. What is death? What is dying? How can my friend find me dead? And I remember trying to fight him. I didn't know how to fight him off of me, and I accepted death. I remember relaxing into death. I loved nature, and I was in nature. I remember relaxing into death, and I went inside of myself, and these visions came to me of these squares that were illuminated by light, and it was the opposite of an egg unfolding. It was like 36 squares that were imploding or imploding in geometric progression. So 36 would become 24, would become 20, 12. So it became one shiny square in my mind's eye. I said, now. I broke into consciousness. I said, this man's not going to get away with this. This man's not going to get away with this. When I came to, he was gone. I became afraid. I got up. My boyfriend at the time heard me trying to scream Victor, his name, mm-hmm. but my throat was all torn up. Mm-hmm. And he said he was compelled to come out of the cottage. He heard this sound. He carried me in the cottage, and we called the state troopers. They eventually caught this man. But from that incident, I learned that I had to, a number of things that I call divine directives, learn to do martial arts, learn how to defend myself, learn how to meditate, get to the other side of the continent. And then I wanted to learn a mechanism or a system that would let me into all states of consciousness. And I went to Vancouver. I was in the library one day, and a man approached me and said, you look like you need a tarot card reading. I had never had a card reading before. And I said, okay. And he said, look for an exchange of, buy me a tea and I'll do a reading. And I went and bought him a tea, and he did a reading. And I wasn't impressed. And he says, I have a deck for you. And he says, he went and showed me this deck, and it was the Crowley deck. And I felt I was holding jewels, gems. And from that moment on, I have been connected with the Crowley deck and the tarot. And that's how I started, because I knew that that was my vehicle. And in the deck, there's a little holy tree of life. Mm-hmm. That Crowley corresponded the cards to the holy tree of life. That was my first introduction to that through this little booklet. And then I later found my own way away from Crowley. I never really studied him.
Right. And there are thousands of different types of decks. Thousands tarot of cards. And there are those who even will actually use a standard deck of 52 playing cards to basically give readings to people as well. Now, before we take our break, when you give readings to people, or even as you teach this, the tarot is nothing more than a tool, because a lot of this is intuitive. Is that correct?
I would agree with you. And I do think that they have no power unto mm-hmm. themselves, the cards, or the layout is a personal experience, and the cards is an expression to help you get into your intuitive through the symbols and associations that are embodied in the cards. And I feel like they inform us. So they don't believe they have powers.
Okay.
And I agree with you. It's the intuitive.
Well, we're going to talk more about this and also get into the aspects of how the Tree of Life came into this whole area with the tarots, tarot cards, and so forth. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. And Myra Mossman is my guest. She is a local tarot card teacher. And we're going to talk more about the tarot and the Tree of Life, the Kabbalah, which also seems, I don't know if it's... if there are two different things here and they just sound like they're similar. Some people say Kabbalah and some say Kabbalah. Those are the same thing. They're just pronouncing it a little differently.
Correct. It's just a different...
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk more about that as we continue. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. Through Angel Healing House, I can help you release emotional issues and physical ailments and finally find your inner strength to regain health, clarity, and balance in your life. Find your joy again by booking your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Do you ever worry about family or friends falling? Each year, accidental falls account for more than 16,000 deaths and nearly 2 million trips to the ER. Now there's new information you need to know about who's most likely to fall with a new guideline from the American Academy of Neurology. The guideline finds certain neurology patients are at the highest risk of falling and need to be screened regularly. They include people with stroke, dementia, a history of falls, and walking and balance problems. For more information on the American Academy of Neurology's new risk of falls guideline, visit AAN.com.
If you're looking for a full-service contractor to build your masterpiece from the ground up,
you should know that Sampanis Construction is Santa Barbara's premier construction company.
If you're looking for a full-service contractor to transform your home,
you should know that Sampanis Construction is Santa Barbara's premier construction company.
If you're looking for a full-service contractor to spruce up your kitchen or bath,
you should know that Sampanis Construction is Santa Barbara's premier construction company. From classic Mediterranean to ultra-contemporary to residential remodels, commercial storefronts, or kitchen remodeling. Now you know that Sampanis Construction is Santa Barbara's premier construction company. For more information on how Sampanis Construction will turn your dream into a reality, call 805-682-2772. That's 805-682-2772. Or visit sampanisinc.com today.
I'm Vanda. I'm a liar, a cheat, a tramp, and a thief.
Yoga Soup presents stand-up comedian Vanda.
Nice to meet you. I'm not even a good thief. I'm a petty thief.
Saturday, May 2nd, 8 p.m.
Good tramp.
At 28 Harker Way, around the corner from the Santa Barbara Roasting Company.
Well, I've been meeting a lot of spiritual people, people with names like...
Intimate.
Sky Dancer and...
Hysterical.
Butterfly.
Irreverent Reverence.
The women's names are even weirder.
Saturday, May 2nd, 8 p.m. Call 965-8811 for more laughs.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you.
It haunts me too.
Yes, and I do know how you feel. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me.
New paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to make your dreams come true here on a Saturday afternoon. It's a gorgeous day on the Central Coast, and we're here with Myra Mossman, and she is a tarot instructor, teacher, reader, and she incorporates the Kabbalah or Tree of Life into her readings by using what she refers to as the Tree of Life layout. I've seen the Tree of Life, and that must be a heck of a layout. You wouldn't be able to do it here on the counter space of this console here, would you? It's a little large, I would think.
Yeah, you can bunch them up, though.
Okay. Because when I
if
do
you know where what's what, you can bunch them up.
Now, bear in mind, I actually carry, why? I don't know. I have carried this for probably, 10 years I've had this deck of cards with me. It's in my briefcase. I don't know why. They're just there. And that's just one of the things. And then some say, oh, you're a tarot reader? No. Not necessarily. I just have it in case.
It's like a spare tire.
I guess if I
need it, it's gonna
that's kind of like the 20 that I keep in my shoe, just
yes,
in case.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are lots of things that I've tested and checked out and, you know, played with, so to speak. You know, yes, I've got crystals and I've got little things here and this and that and the other. And I wear a little medallion and all of these different things. But at the same time, I also know that it's always, always me.
I agree, Richard, and I think this is my way. The cult sciences are varied, and everybody's an individual, and they're going to find their own way of getting into their intuitive. And it could be reading cards or the I Ching or reading palms or, you know, doing auras, and yeah, it all works.
It's an interesting term you use, though, the occult sciences. And there would be those who would say the occult, well, that's no science. But the reality is that it is, and there is science. Science has been starting to prove some of these things.
I think Carl Jung, although he was a social scientist, he coined the phrase synchronicity, and I think it was very important to the development of the occult sciences and looking at coincidences and meaningful coincidences, as opposed to science, which is cause and effect and causal relationships and more validity based on, you know, you build something to get somewhere.
Right. I know that our resident astrologer that we have on this program pretty regularly, he uses the science of Vedic astrology. He says there's no intuition in it. This is all mathematics. It's all science. It's all astronomy based upon where the stars were when you were born, et cetera, et cetera. So
some people might say that the interpretation of those groupings of stars, you draw on the intuitive, how you actually...
Yeah,
but but there is a mathematical
basis
to it.
Well, I basically concluded that it's, and using some very simple analogies, that if the moon, which orbits the Earth, affects the water, and we as human beings are 96-97% water, and we get the tides in and out, then why wouldn't the moon in turn also affect our water-based life? And there are other planets that have stronger and other bodies out there and so on and so forth. Let's get back to Earth and to the tarot. Tell me a little bit about the Tree of Life. For those who are not initiated or who don't understand it, what is it and how does it play a part in our lives?
Okay. The Tree of Life comes out of Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Basically, in chapter 1, we all recognize that God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Chapter 1, chapter 2, the first two verses of chapter 2 is when God rested, first two, three chapters. And so this is where most traditional understandings of the Torah, the chapter, the Genesis stops. A Kabbalist within that first chapter sees something else. He recognizes that when God uttered the words, and God said, let there be light, and God said, let the waters divide from the land, that when God made those utterances had power. And when you count up in the first chapter how many times the words, and God said, appear, it comes to 10. Actually, 9 are apparent, and 1 is implicit in the first sentence, because the will of God desired to create. And so that's the 10th. That gives you the 10 dynamic centers that are correlated to the Kabbalistic system. From those 10, in chapter 2, that develops out into the Holy Tree of Life, which is named. Chapter 2 in Genesis names the Tree of Life and the Tree of Knowledge, the Tree of Good and Evil. And so these two trees are named, and it's fully developed in the second chapter. And in the third chapter, where we get the fall, it's developed into the world that we know today. And so it comes out of my studies of the Torah and working specifically with Genesis. And right now, if you go on my website, www.insighttarot.com, and you look in my Kabbalah blog, I'm writing right now a restatement of Genesis to bring out this apparent relationship to the Holy Tree of Life and these 10 utterances that are called the Sephirot. And we see that this system could be very much important to us, just as we recognize the 7 days of creation. We all live with the 7 days of creation. And to a Kabbalist like me, I also live with these 10 utterances, these Sephirotic systems. And if you, how the Tree of Life is laid out, there's 22 pathways to these 10 sephiroths, and those 22 pathways plus the 10 sephiroth correlate to the 22 cards in the higher arcana and the 10 cards in the lower arcana, each with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Kabbalah is also correlated, broken up into the four worlds, which is our court cards. And so the 78 cards of the tarot lay on or are embodied within the Holy Tree of Life numerically, mm-hmm. at least numerically.
Right.
And that's apparent.
Okay. So now you take that knowledge of the Tree of Life and you incorporate that with the tarot into the type of layout that you use
yeah.
to share with your client. I'm not sure.
Yes, client.
Okay. The information. That, now, do they put forth questions or do you just have them silent and you just share with them what
it can go both ways, Richard. It can go both ways. It can go, they might have a paramount question, and I'll ask them, do you have a question? Or from the reading, you can get a general disposition,
mm-hmm.
or I can see from the reading exactly what the basic issue that drove them to see me is to begin with. So all of these. I encourage my clients to be engaged in the mm-hmm. reading.
Okay. Well, and I've had quite a number of readings over the years back in Phoenix, and they've been rather instrumental in some instances. I've actually had to fight certain impulses when I've gotten information in regards to the tarot readings, not to press, not to I guess the don't come from a place of desperation. Okay, well she told me this, and over there is that, but I don't want to go running headlong for it because I was told it was going to come to me, you know, whatever that was, whether it was an event or a person or what have you. And because I often felt as though if I did that, I was then interfering with the normal universal process that I needed to go through. And yet by the same token, some would say, well, but how do you know that by pressing you weren't, that wasn't part of the normal universal process you were supposed to go through? And that's kind of the struggle I think some people have with readings, whether it's tarot or whatever modality is used. The information that is given, you're giving that to your client. How much of that information is, maybe a better way to put this, is how the information that you are given, is it filtered in any way, and is it interfered with if you follow where I'm going, by you and your life. I mean, you've lived a whole separate life.
I mean, we try to make as a reader, I'm a facilitator,
mm-hmm.
and the person is the one that knows the reading the best that I'm doing it for. And I encourage them, after I'm finished with the hour with me, to take that reading further,
mm-hmm.
and I call it integration work, and for them to get involved. But we do try to separate ourselves. I become an empathic. I try not to become involved and influential. I just try to use my whole open-heartedness to become empathic and facilitate them and not sort of encourage and influence.
Yeah. So you become a conduit so that the energy and or the information flows through you about this person.
Correct. And I think that has to do with being open-hearted.
Okay.
And that caring and compassion, and I think that's what all social scientists and therapists and psychologists and counselors have.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are similar.
You have been practicing with the tarot for how long?
Over 30 years.
And for you, what has changed?
Well, I think it's informed me. Like, I'm a student of the tarot, and I'm a student of the Torah, and it's our cosmological system that informs us. And so as I get a deeper understanding of the universe that I live in, I can become a better person because I can grow. And so I've developed enormously
mm-hmm.
through my readings. Like, I'm not just a tarot reader, I'm also an attorney. I'm a professional. I do federal criminal appeals in the Ninth Circuit and the Supreme Court of the United States. I also have a black belt. I've trained in martial arts for 10 years. I'm a full-fledged handbook binder and paper restorer. And so as a Kabbalist, you live on more than just one world. You live on the four worlds that are embodied in the Holy Tree of Life. And so through my relationship with the Tarot and the Kabbalah, I've grown and developed myself.
Well, I know that I'd want to be on your side, whether I'm in a dark gallery or in a dark courtroom. Because
yeah.
Most courtrooms are pretty dark. I've only been in a few, and it wasn't fun either time. So,
Well, my clients are all convicted. They're doing time.
Oh, well.
So they've passed the courtroom.
I promise you I will.
They're in the jail.
Well, how long have you been practicing law?
I've been practicing law since 1992.
Okay. So you've been doing the tarot longer than you've been practicing
yes.
law. I'm curious, how does an attorney juxtapose those two things?
I channel Sherlock Holmes when I'm doing when I'm doing the law. I channel my hero, Sherlock Holmes, because I'm an appellate attorney. I'm working from the record.
Right.
So I do it out of my house. And so he was a consulting detective. And so I managed to... But you're using your intuitive.
Yeah. But, I mean, even aren't attorneys, when they're trying a case, whether it's in the courtroom or they're out there gathering information, I mean, even in the police, they're playing off of hunches. Well, what the heck do you think a hunch is?
Yes, it's your intuition.
Yeah. A hunch. I have no evidence, but I have this hunch.
Yeah. And that's what they do, and they follow through.
Yeah.
But, you know, as Holmes would say, it's observation and deduction. I mean, it's based on something.
Yeah. What is it that Holmes, because I'm not versed in the writings per se, but that when you are trying to solve a problem and you're trying to eliminate all of the possibilities that aren't the reason why this has happened, it's usually, what is it that's usually the final thing that you have to accept, this has to be it because you've eliminated everything else.
If it's not the impossible or something about, if it's not the probable, it could be the impossible. And
something along those lines.
He had a coin, a phrase that he used, and I can't remember it right now.
I'll have to look that up because I remember hearing it in a Star Trek Next Generation episode where they quoted him in that regard.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm into science fiction too. We're here.
But I must say, just not to make light of this, no. You know, when you grow up as a child and you're listening to the Bible stories and you envision them in your head, and the tarot, so you get a vision for these sort of inanimate, these characters, and then the tarot is just a comic book that comes alive, and so you have to believe in comic books, you have to believe in these characters. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about those characters as we continue. We won't go into all 78 per se, but we'll go into some of them that are probably more known than others. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we're here with Myra Mossman. She is extraordinary in that she comes from a lot of different directions, both the tarot card reader, but also she is a teacher, lawyer, and you said a bookbinder. And that's fascinating as well, especially when you're talking about books of antiquities, because there are more and more of those books, and a lot of books aren't going to be put into binding because they're going to be electronic. And I'm wondering, just on a side note, do you see the physical book disappearing anytime in the century?
I do, and I'm sad about that. I love the book as a physical object, to hold it. And
I love the smell of new books.
Yeah.
Going into libraries,
or
bookstores, just fabulous. Let's talk about the characters within the tarot. Now, certainly we have the four, there's the wands, the swords, the cups, and the pentacles, and I guess that's pretty typical from one tarot deck to another.
Yes, some decks
like
might call...
spades, hearts, diamonds.
And some decks might call the pentacles discs.
Okay.
So those are your basic suits.
Okay.
And then your higher arcana is the suit of trumps.
Mm-hmm.
So there's five.
Would those correspond then with the jack, king, queen, and ace?
Well, those are the court cards. The ace is the one.
Mm-hmm.
And the court cards is, well, there's four. And in a typical card deck, there's three.
Right.
So you have your king, queen, prince and princess, or they might change them into page, or you know, each deck has a different flavor of along the same notion.
So in the suits, you have 10. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Called the lower arcana.
The lower arcana.
Plus
right.
the court cards. These are the lower arcana.
Very briefly, what do those particular suits Is there a specific representation, symbolism?
To the suit?
To the suit.
Okay, so your discs or pentacles is the earth, and mm-hmm. it's the material world, the everyday work world, your business world. The world of cups is, or hearts is the world of emotions, relationships, feelings.
Mm-hmm.
The world of swords is the world of mind, the intellect, thought, mental activity. The world of wands is energy, spirituality, passionate, sexual, passionate energy.
Okay. Now, when you go to the higher arcana, you mm-hmm. have some very well-known cards that are often pulled and misunderstood. And I'll start with probably the most misunderstood card in that area, and that is the card, the death card.
Mm-hmm.
People, when that is pulled, automatically assume that someone is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact that doesn't mean that at all.
It can mean that there's a death around.
Sure.
That there is a death. I mean, it does represent what it is,
mm-hmm.
but it also represents a phenomenological change, a transformational change, or it's actually like pruning, like get rid of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stop doing that activity. You know, something has to be history.
Right.
So you have to end something. A death to something.
And if you want to begin something, you have to end something to begin something.
Right, and a total termination.
Yeah.
So it's a transformational card.
But it's all cyclical. I mean, all of this is, there are cycles that we go through within our own individual lives. But as far as humanity, and even on a universal level, it's all cyclical.
Yes.
It all seems like it's happening over and over mm-hmm. again in a matter of speaking.
That we don't learn our lessons.
And we don't.
Well, let's hope it's cyclical, but it spirals upward.
Spirals, okay, I like that.
So we go around, but we get better.
Right. There's also, I'm not sure if this is in the higher arcana or not, the lover's card,
mm-hmm.
which, again, is usually associated with some kind, with relationships.
Relationships and also particularly getting along with people. Usually enormous amount of open-heartedness and not non-judgmental and prejudicial, and to me that it signifies this also a certain type of bonding, and also could be a union of opposites. It depends on the reading and the layout
mm-hmm.
where that card comes up.
Is the Hangman different from the Death card?
Yes, it's different. It precedes it, and it signifies actually. A number of things, a sacrificial mother, for instance,
mm-hmm.
someone who has their life, is not living their own life for themselves, but for someone else. It also is the card of the initiate,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, someone that's on the path to becoming a great prophetess or prophet. And so it's the path of initiate where the world that you're living, you know, is sort of just a description of something that's not really the real world or a truer world for yourself.
But the Tower card?
The Tower is an interesting card. It signifies that someone has undergone a great upheaval in their life. They've ready, as you say, for a new paradigm. This is why your show is probably important to some people, because some people's world has turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
They've got thrown out of their house and got angry with a boyfriend. And all of a sudden, you know, their clothes are outside and the world is upside down. They have nowhere to go. And so all the structures that they were familiar with is being torn away from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Tower card. And so it's time for new paradigms, which your show answers to.
With there's one card that I think a lot of people don't like getting, and that's the card, which is the Fool.
Mm-hmm. It's a good card.
Mm-hmm.
It means it really is happy-go-lucky. Someone that has trust in their intuition, and so they're a bit carefree, and you go, God, they must be foolish to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because they are lighthearted.
Yeah.
And
I keep thinking there's a card in there like the Ogre or something like that. I don't know why. There's another.
Well, are you thinking of the Hermit?
That's it. Thank uh-huh. you. The Hermit.
It's
Tell
not
me about
the Hermit. I wouldn't say the Hermit's an Ogre. He's actually he's a recluse.
Well, I first thought of Troll, so.
A troll that's a mystical troll.
Okay.
Because he's purposeful.
Okay.
He's in contemplative state, removed from society to learn things because he's in consultation with the divine. And then once he learns his lessons, he has to go down into the real world, come down from the mountain and give this information to the people. And so he's an informative character.
Now,
or she.
Or she, that's true. If one were to receive a reading from you, you're going to lay the cards out in a particular pattern based upon the Tree of Life. How many cards are you going to lay out? Or will you eventually go through all of them?
No. When I do a layout at my house for a reading or over the phone if someone's long distance, we pull 11 cards.
Okay.
There's 10 Sephiroth and a 1 quasi-Sephiroth. So that comes to be 11 cards.
Okay.
And I work strictly for that hour with 11 cards. If we do a follow-up depth session, because we've only spent an hour and there's enormous amount of information, a depth session, I might pull one or two cards to see over time what has happened. A depth session with me comes about a couple of months later.
Right.
So we pull a couple of cards.
Do you allow people to record the sessions?
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay. Now, when you lay these cards out in these 11 positions, those positions represent something also.
Right. Correct. Quickly. That's what a layout is.
Okay.
And everybody will have their own individual layout because it's a subjective science. Mm-hmm. Mine works with the Holy Tree of Life. And so those positions, what I called Sephiroth, mm-hmm. it develops into a glyph. And those Sephiroth has meaning. And so the card in the place of the position, that position has meaning, the card has meaning, and you put those together, and it helps you divine the layout. The reading for this particular person.
Mm-hmm. Is anybody else, as far as you know, using this kind of the concept, using the Tree of Life, incorporating it with reading?
Oh, yes, there's people mm-hmm. that use it. I've developed it my own way.
Mm-hmm.
There's other people that use the Holy Tree of Life layout. They've developed their own system.
And again, that's kind of what the program here is all about, and that is that there are so many different ways of doing things. Well, quite honestly, there are over 6 billion ways of doing things because that's how many people that we have here. And actually, you could actually take that to a new level because then you could then start mathematically, exponentially adding the individuals together because every time two people come together with their individual ideas, they're going to create a new idea. So it could go into the trillions or googillions as far as I know.
Permutations are enormous.
Exactly. And it's a wonder how we've created some of the things that we have. I mean, and why we haven't created some of the things we should have.
Okay, just to think about it in sort of simplistic terms is that the higher arcana, the 22 higher arcana, correlate to the Hebrew alphabet, the 22 letters of
alphabet,
and
yes.
Look how many variations we can to put these letters together to make words and meanings.
Yeah.
And there you go. So there's...
From a music standpoint, as a kid, why I thought this, I don't know. That I know that there are the basic 8 notes, and then you can go to different octaves. But I thought at one point we would run out of music because you could only have certain combinations. And that was long before I learned about all of the different instruments and then the sharps and the flats, which drive me nuts in quartet practice.
Yeah.
But it's something that... that's where the tarot is also extremely flexible because every time you do a reading for the same person, you're going to pull different cards.
But not necessarily.
Oh, you've had people.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to pull. I mean, this is the unique. This is the amazing thing about the tarot. I mean, sometimes people will pull similar or very similarly situated cards or the very same card.
Wow.
And it's that, quite telling.
Does that kind of freak them out a little bit?
It's quite, yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite, it freaks me out. It never ceases to amaze me.
Well, I know that when we've had readings, the gal would have us shuffle the cards and cut the cards and so forth, again, so that our energy was incorporated into those cards.
Everybody has their own ritual, how they get into the deck and how they do their deck. And I encourage people to make their own way.
Yeah.
But I also... cut the cards and then get your energy into the cards when I have my clients. And I want to say that I also do events. And in events, I'll pull just the central channel of the Tree of Life, and that's 5 cards. And you get a lot of reading. Maybe I might have a minute or 2 minutes with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you get an enormous amount of information. So it's...
Well, and people can get a hold of you by going to your website, which is InsightTarot.com.
Yeah. www.insighttarot.com, and I'll spell it InsightTarot.com.
Okay. And that is a link at our website, richarddugan.com, and her interview here will be available after the program, about 15 minutes hence, and you'll be able to listen to the program again and get more information. Who to the best of your knowledge, because I know we talked about this before, that you're not that versed in the history, but from what you do know, I mean, it just seems kind of interesting that this has come about. And obviously the tarot has been around for hundreds, if not, I suppose, thousands of years, or at least the concept of these 78 positions. Any insight at all?
Well, you know, there's known historical landmarks in the tarot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gypsies and
yeah.
Crowley took it back to the Egyptians, where the word gypsies come from. And then, you know, there's the beautiful artistic Middle Ages
mm-hmm.
Decks. But I'm basically ahistorical. I have an undergraduate degree in anthropology, so it's a field that doesn't really interest me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, no offense to anybody.
No, absolutely not. No, none taken. I think it's so fascinating that somebody, I mean, I actually put it up along the same category as the person who thought that an artichoke was a good thing to eat. It is a very good thing to eat, this is true, but how they came to that conclusion, I do not know. It's like the guy that developed a carburetor had way too much time on his hands. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we'd love to have you send us an email, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. Go to the website, richarddugan.com. You can take a look at our schedule, and we are booked way in advance, out into September, October, and we're heading for November. And so we're very excited about the guests that we have upcoming. We're very excited about the guests that we have had, as well as the ones that we have presently, and that is Myra Mossman, and she is a tarot card reader, instructor, attorney, bookbinder, a Renaissance woman, probably, if we continue to delve into the things that you are involved in. I think that it's a wonderful thing that you provide this kind of a service to people. Because I would think that somebody may come in feeling pretty shaky emotionally about certain things. And, I mean, in today's, you know, if you read the news and so forth, there are people that are very shaky about a lot of things. And hopefully they leave there with a little bit more peace and calmness.
Yes, that's part of the prayer that I said beforehand, that they leave here with a full heart, an open heart, and more understanding about the issues that that drove them to come to see me. They leave here with a full understanding. And that's what you wish for people, that they don't suffer and learn from their situations and get better.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about the tarot and the work that I do, it gets you right inside of their problems. They're strangers and they come to me, and I get to know them right away. And so I think that's important, that people feel they're connecting.
Well, I think that it's very important for us to feel that we are connecting with one another and that we do just that. So when the computer first came out, I thought this is going to be the one thing that's going to keep people from doing just that. And I'm seeing certain things every once in a while that it's like this Twitter thing. I can't get into that.
I've never even looked at it.
Oh, it's probably just as well. I mean, you know, I don't need people. They talk about how you can be, people can follow you on Twitter. And what you do is I don't know how often people are doing this, but on their little texting devices, they're letting people know on Twitter, oh, well, I'm going to the grocery store now. Well, I'm crossing the street now. It's like, I don't need to follow somebody to that degree.
I'm not interested either. I mean,
yeah. And texting, you want to talk to me? You have my phone number. You have my email address. I will deal with that form of texting. Maybe I'm just an old crony, but it's just one of those things. That's where technology is, and some of us are going to embrace it. I mean, I have a dear friend who back in Phoenix who has never touched a computer and has no plans on doing so. So everybody's at their own space in their own place. And we're certainly glad that you joined us here on the program. We're going to take another break here on Tell Me Your Story. And once again, if you'd like to get in touch with us, go to Tell Me Your Story. Actually, you can go to richarddugan.com and you can take a look at our schedule and email me, richard@richarddugan.com. There is a link to Myra's website, which is insighttarot.com, www.insighttarot.com. I'm Richard Dugan. Myra and I will return along with Amrita here on AM 1290.
Have you lost direction in life? Do you constantly worry or give to others but deny your own heart? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Hi, I'm Vanda. I'm a liar, a cheat, a tramp, and a thief.
Yoga Soup presents stand-up comedian Vanda.
Nice to meet you. I'm not even a good thief. I'm a petty thief.
Saturday, May 2nd, 8 p.m.
Good tramp.
At 28 Harker Way, around the corner from the Santa Barbara Roasting Company.
Well, I've been meeting a lot of spiritual people, people with names like...
Intimate.
Sky Dancer and...
Hysterical.
Butterfly.
Irreverent Reverence.
The women's names are even weirder.
Saturday, May 2nd, 8 p.m. Call 965-8811 for more laughs.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take to that road, see how far it goes. And on that great ocean road, all the countries in our bones, all the trouble that you know empties out.
And I will do my best to understand, because that's what it's about, and that's the only way that we are really going to connect and move forward in our lives and our civilization, is to share with one another where we're coming from and where we'd like to go to, because you just never know, the person you're talking to may actually be the one to help you get where you're trying to go to. I could share with you a personal experience that we had just yesterday when we were doing a delivery and met this woman, and the next thing I know, we're talking to her about a project. And the more you put yourself out there, you put the intent out there, and then you put yourself out there and you keep connecting with people, I mean, amazing things can happen. And I would venture that's probably happened with you too, with some of the people that come through your door.
Yes, and I think you said it really well about the intentionality is important. Your intent, how your mind is focused, is important before you step into something.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program and sharing your insights into the tarot as well as the Tree of Life. That has always been intriguing to me, the Tree of Life. Not only the aspects of it, but also its physical appearance. I actually created a raised version of it.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
I'm not sure. I think I still have it. Yes, I do. But what I found so fascinating, and I would love to ask Gene Roddenberry if he actually took the design of his... starship from the Tree of Life. When you look straight on at the first version of the Enterprise from the first series, it actually looks like the top part of the Kabbalah, of the Tree of Life. I thought, and then you can see it again in a lower portion as well.
Hmm, that's interesting.
So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, this ain't no coincidence. Mm-hmm. He had to have gotten it somehow, because it's just sitting right there. It's amazing.
Hmm.
But the pathways are set up on that as well, and it's not just, and of course, in my diagram, it's the little circles and then lines.
Right.
The circles and the lines have meaning.
The circles and the lines, because the energy flows through the lines.
Connectivity, yeah.
Down from the higher, from above, and then we pull up energy from the earth. We raise our energies up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the energies go up and down.
I'm just curious. This just came to me. Are there... any special ceremonies or rituals you're aware of where people can incorporate the Kabbalah into their lives and incorporate those aspects and attributes thereof?
There's a lot of prayer that brings the Kabbalah into people's lives. Also, just looking at the glyph and envisioning it, because you can wear it on the human body. It actually superimposes itself. And I work with the Anabakoa, which is a prayer of sounds that correlates to the lines of the Tree of Life.
I think that's one of the things that struck me so much about the Hebrew alphabet, that each character had its own legend, if you will, both color, sound, the list went on, and then you start putting those letters together to make words, and then you have another whole unique legend, and then into sentences, etc. And I've often felt that every time something is translated from, say, that language into any other, a lot of that is lost.
Yes, that's interesting that you picked that up, Richard. The Hebrew is a holy script, And so it has, the letters are more than just, it has numerical value and symbolic value. And as you said, it's a vocal.
Mm-hmm.
So it has sound value. And we don't work, I think the tarot is the symbol book of the Hebrew letters.
Hmm.
And so those were, that's where those images and the symbols of those letters actually become very meaningful. And I work with those letters
mm-hmm.
and those symbols, and they relate to the cards. And so as a Kabbalist, we don't forget.
A Kabbalist.
A Kabbalist working with mm-hmm. the Tree of Life
right.
and the letters. You don't forget that they're also symbolic, not just alphabetical.
Yeah, I know. It's like the alphabet, the 26 letters of the
English
alphabet.
Our alphabet has no symbolic meaning, really.
Yeah. Okay,
so we lose that.
A is for apple.
But the Arabic, Syriac, their script is holy.
Yeah.
It's a holy script. And so they have that same, they get that same deep meaning.
Yeah. I know the Sanskrit language also is has also the same kinds of lineage to it, too. And we'll have to do another program on that one day. I want to thank you again for joining us. Final question. There are lots of things you could be doing in the world. Why this? Why now?
Why what? Why now?
Why tarot? Why now?
Well, I think it's actually important to me as a professional, as a lawyer, to bring out that the intuitive has just a part as much to play in our society. I think it's important to me unashamedly talk about being a tarot reader as well as a lawyer, because all of us has these skills and powers that we can work with.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Interesting. Well, I thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure, and we'll look forward to hopefully having you back again, probably in the next year. We're so far booked up right now.
Yeah.
But again, I appreciate you coming down, and look forward to sharing across the table one of these days, maybe a reading.
Thank you. I enjoyed myself very much.
Great. Again, my guest is Myra Mossman, and you can find her at insighttarot.com. That's www.insighttarot.com. Tarot.com. That's right, two T's back to back there, insighttarot.com. You can go to richarddugan.com, and we have her link there as well, and we encourage you to check out Myra and her website and the information that she has available, and all of our guests and the information that they have available, because that's the reason this program is here, to give you these different ideas, these different paradigms, these choices. You may not think of them as such, but you never know what will come about. Put yourself out there and consider different ideas, different ways of doing things, and who knows? You could develop the next, perpetual machine. I mean, who's to say that it can't be built? I will be back next Saturday and every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Once again, you can go to richarddugan.com, check out all the information we have and the links to all of our guests that we've had on, as well as those that are upcoming. And you can also email us, richard@richarddugan.com. Until next Saturday at this same time, again, my thanks for you for joining us and my guest, and love to Lal. Have a great day.